Coming up on today's show,
I looked up at that Jumbotron and it dawned on me that I have made my way to the stage to open up for Oprah's tour for the next 2 months of my life.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. I want to be with you forever. Joining me today on location in Las Vegas, my guest is a professional touring multi-instrumentalist, currently performing here as trombonist and guitarist with Cirque du Soleil's Mad Apple. She has performed on the Grammy Awards, Good Morning America, and The Voice, and over her career in music, has worked with a variety of artists ranging from Music Soulchild to CeeLo Green to Fantasia and even Oprah Winfrey. She has also served as music director for Melanie Fiona and Janelle Monáe, and she is a Roland artist and Ultimate Ears brand ambassador. You've been hearing a song of hers called Lifetime of Love. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Tracyon Martin.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you. I appreciate you coming to sit and record this with me today.
Yes.
Let's get started by having you talk first about the song of yours that was just playing during the intro called Lifetime of Love.
So Lifetime of Love is very dear to me. I think all of us love companionship, but the thing about companionship, it can be here or not. So there are other things that we absolutely cherish, and I wanted to make it about love, but in an ambiguous way. So whether it's your baby you love, it's your passion, you love art, it is that lifetime of love, something that you know is going to sit with your heart and just going to make you feel happy and feel full of life. That is Lifetime of Love.
So many love songs are relationship songs, yeah. Meaning two humans. Yeah. So what inspired you to say, I want to take this kind of step back, this broader approach? Because I love that you have brought something new to what otherwise is, okay, here we go, another love song, which is not.
Mm-hmm. So what I would say, what really inspired me, at the time I was in a relationship, but also I thought about my passion for music was one of the things that really aided in me getting up every day. It was the inspiration to make sure I did something. And I felt purposeful when I was doing music because I'd have people walk up to me and say, man, I really needed to hear that. Or I really needed just the sound, or I needed just your energy. And I'm like, man, that's something that sometimes we take for granted, that we have the opportunity to impact and make somebody feel. And for me, I'm like, it's cool. It's so many musicians and beautiful people who can do talented things, but what is their why? And so my why was being able to spread love with music on any occasion. And we know music has the power to heal. So that is my background for wanting to do Lifetime of Love.
But, you know, it really is interesting that there's that expression about, you know, find something that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And to see people who are in that rare luxury where they love what they do. And this could be a welder, right? Yeah. This could be an electrician. This could be a podcaster, a musician. The list goes on.
Yes.
And to recognize those people, and you're seeing it now, it brings a smile to your face when you see someone who's so passionate about what they do.
Yes.
My wife used to say that, and I hope I still do, but she always used to say, oh, he lights up when he talks about his podcast. And now that I've been doing it every week for more than 10 years and I've never missed once, you could tell I must enjoy it and I must be excited about it. And so, yes, love is exciting. And you always hope that if you're in a relationship that it's long lasting and you still have that same joy all those years later. But to get inspired by other things is perfectly fulfilling as well.
It is. And again, it's just the one thing that you know you can control. Again, relationships come and go, but the thing that you're passionate about, generally speaking, it's something that lasts for your life. And that's where I am with music and other things. My puppy, I love my baby.
But see, things like a puppy, okay, you hope they'll have a long life. But things like music, you know, you can put down whatever instrument you play for a few years, mm-hmm. but it's still in you and you're still going to come back to it. And yes. there's still, and I love going to shows and seeing how much fun the people are having on stage where, yeah, of course you're there to see whoever is, say, the headliner, for example, that A-lister that he or she is out front. But you look and you see the mm-hmm. other musicians on the stage and you go, but look at that person. Yes. He or she is having a ball.
Yes. And it's inspiring to see that even as an accomplished musician, to be reminded about what you do is very special. So I enjoy it and I'll continue to consider music my lifetime of love.
I love that. I love that. While there certainly will be Tracyon Martin family, friends, fans, followers who come to this episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, over the more than 10 years of this show, I've been fortunate to get listeners from 163 countries around the world, which means that a lot of them will just be getting introduced to you for the first time. So let's get to know you. Let's do some background setting. Firstly, even though we're in Las Vegas, tell the audience where you're actually from, but also, did you always want to be a musician?
So first, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. We take the T out the Atlanta. So Atlanta, Georgia. And no, musicianship was not on my list of things to do. I am an avid lover of animals. And so I thought I was going to go to the animal field and then into the medical field. Then I realized I didn't have the heart to be with sick animals. I literally didn't. So I backed out of that. But also in a very organic way, my parents are pastors. So I started playing in church. A lot of musicians have had that backstory of having the foundation to start in church. And with that said, I started on drums at 9 and then transitioned to piano at 10 and literally, Bruce, by 2 weeks, I started playing for the church. Now, I don't know if it's because my parents couldn't afford a better musician. but no, really, they saw that there was a gift that I had and that it just needed a little bit of nurturing. And they put me in a school called the Gospel Music Institute. And that's where I was able to nurture the gift. And I just found that it's something that resonated with me and just sitting down with piano, as well as that time of life for me, I started getting into band. And that's where the trombone came into play. So I was the pastor's kid at church 6 days a week, helping to run the sound, helping to clean the church, playing the music and singing eventually in church. So foundationally, that's where everything kind of started for me.
But it sounded like you said that when you changed from drums to piano, it sounded like you said that within 2 weeks you were playing in church, you're playing piano in church.
That is very true.
At the age of 9.
At the age of 10 is where I was on piano. Incredibly crazy that that even happened, but it's a very true story. I knew how to play one song, one key. And my dad teases me about all of the other songs I had to sing. Had to stay in one key, and that was the key of C, until I could learn how to play my other keys.
So were you scared and nervous, but regardless of your answer, were your parents kind of showing you that just be patient and the nerves will go away, this will be something that you'll improve at, you'll enjoy more and more?
Very much so, and thank God they were my parents, because I can't imagine what I really sounded like now. but I guess it was good enough for us not having a musician at all. And to know that they took the time to invest in me. They met in FAMU College in their gospel choir. So the love of music was started from there. And I just kind of seemingly followed their path. And they knew, again, because they knew the process of music and getting to learn things, it would take time. But very much so, I was sure that piano was something that I would stick with, regardless where I went.
Now, do you have siblings? Because did they get into music also? And if not, how is it that you did and they didn't?
So I have an older sister, and it's so funny. I'm going to go back to when I was 4 years old, pre-K. My sister, we were in the same preschool, and she was in piano classes. Now, I don't even know how this happened, but my mom showed up to pick us up, and I was in the piano class, and my mom was like, I didn't put you in piano, it's my sister. So I don't know if I stole her classes, but she didn't stay with it, and she sings a little bit, but I am literally the only musician actively in my family. My mom, her father was a pastor, and she played organ in church, but I tell people my mom did not teach me anything, so it's not so much that there were a lineage of musicians, it's just it stopped before I was even born. And she'll kind of play a little bit now, but the work that I've done to become a musician literally is mostly self-taught after I took those lessons for about 2 years. And it was on my own from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I have to ask, though, as the daughter of two pastors, what did they think of you playing secular music?
Wow. I get this question a lot, Bruce. So the general consensus is, if you're a church musician, people frown upon you when you go out into the secular world and start playing whatever kind of music is out there that's not gospel.
It's all the devil's music.
It's the devil's music. But thank God my parents are, God bless them. They are literally angels, because the thought that pastor's kids will grow up and get wow as soon as they get out the house. But what people don't understand is that a lot of pastors will put certain restrictions on their children to kind of help mask what could happen, or that people expect them to mess up, because it is a world where there is such a very spiritual background. And anytime somebody does something wrong, people are ready to condemn you. My parents did their best, though, to make sure my sister and I had a very basic, normal childhood. We got to go out. There were no crazy curfews. And I think that right there really set me up, not only to get out when I left my parents' house to be normal and not want to go wild, but also my parents knew that them allowing me to grow up normal, I would not stray away so far that I couldn't come back. So whether I was in the secular world, rock world, there would be a basis that I knew that I could fall back on when it comes to principles and morals. So they were fine. Also, I tell people this, my parents had a church, obviously, and when I was on tour, I would pay my offering, and they would be like, when are you going back on the road again so you can come back and pay your offering? Because I was paying good offering. I was making good money.
Well, and let's face it, you know, if God blessed you with the talent to, in this case, play the piano, who are we to question, did he not give us this talent so that we can use it in a way that will, as we go back to the song that we played at the beginning, that will make people happy, that will bring them joy, that will give them love?
Yes.
Whether it's in the church or whether it's secular music. So I think your parents probably saw that and said, our daughter's been blessed with this gift. Let's hope that we've raised her right, look themselves in the mirror, and that she'll go out and that she'll bring a lot of joy to a lot of people.
I truly feel that I've been able to be a lot more effective in those spaces, because those artists that I've played with that are in the secular world, they need a sense of peace also. And so the assignment obviously is to play the music, but I understand my gift allows me to go a little bit further. And if they need prayer or they just want to talk and have a safe space, I can be that for them. And that's what really kind of changes the game in regards to why I'm really here.
Well, and I have a client back home who, she's 75 years old. Mm-hmm. She's a jazz singer, has a classic jazz voice, and she will perform at a local Italian restaurant and say that she is doing her ministry.
Yes.
And that she knows that in that restaurant that night, that there's something much more than just what it appears to be when you walk in and you hear the old standards being sung by her and her pianist performing them.
Yes. Can I tell you a short story?
Please.
So Essence Fest, this must have been 2012. I was out with Melanie Fiona. Love her dearly. She's also my friend now. Hey, Mel. So we were doing Essence Fest, and this was the first day. Melanie literally did not have a voice. And we were backstage getting ready to do our usual prayer before the show. And I walked over to Mel, and I'm not so religious that I have to, you know, go into all the semantics of church, but I do understand spirituality. So I walked over to her, Bruce, and I simply just prayed a prayer. I put my hand on her throat, and she will tell you to this day, she doesn't know how she got through that show, but she knows that me praying for her was the only way. And when she tells that story, in the moment that it happened, I didn't think anything of it. But now, 15 years down the road, to hear it, I'm like, this is why I do what I do.
That's right.
This is why I love what I love.
And there's also that peace. You know, I'm Catholic, and so St. Blaise is who we pray to for the intercession for the blessing of throats. Mm-hmm. And so I've had the time when I have to do a podcast interview, and I go, like you just said, like, how am I going to get through this? Because my throat, my voice is not where it needs to be. Yeah. And I will pray for the intercession of St. Blaise, and just the prayer alone gives you that peace that you go, I don't know if it's going to help or not. I don't know if it's going to get me through it. And then you go, I got through it.
Yeah. We had a great show. It was a success. So.
That's so cool. So we're starting to hear, and obviously audience, those of you who are regulars to Now Hear This Entertainment, Tracyon is not the typical singer, songwriter, guitar player guest that I most often have on this show. So what all do you play? You've started to mention some of the things, but just kind of walk us through, did we miss any, and then where you are at the present day? Because I did introduce you at the beginning of this show as trombonist guitarist, but I'm assuming, which is always a bad word, that that's just under the auspices of the Cirque show.
Yeah, so that is true. At some point, and I must have been a crazy little lady, but at some point I got up to about 9 instruments.
Wow.
Usually in the band area, if you play a brass instrument, sometimes your band director will introduce you to other low brass instruments. So for me, I did trombone. I started learning tuba. He needed me for a symphonic band concert because they were beginners, so they didn't have a tuba player. But I played trumpet a little bit. My parents bought me a trumpet. Then I picked up flute. Then I picked up sax. Along the way, there was electric guitar, bass guitar. I had already started on drums and piano. So the 9 of those, as I count my fingers. And there, it was cool, but I also was like, there is no way that I can really hone in on what I feel like I can be the best at is if I'm trying to stretch. I mean, I'm no Prince. He's phenomenal. But for me, I backed it down and kind of ended up around 3 instruments. So that is trombone, keyboards all together, keyboard, organ, piano, and then a little bit of guitar that I dabble in. And I don't really play drums at this point. I can speak the vernacular if I need something, if we're in a band rehearsal. I can say what I need and they can understand it. But we'll just say 3 instruments for now. Piano, trombone, and a guitar.
But see, your story is similar to Lee Tucker, who I visited with in Nashville in February. And as we sat there, he talked about being from Georgia and being a drummer, and that he played with a band in Georgia. And all of a sudden, now he's this Nashville singer, songwriter, guitar player, and said to me, because I said, do you ever play drums anymore? And he said, not really. He said, packing them up. You know, he said, you know, making $150. He said, when I can be doing what I'm doing now, he said, I just as soon have them set up in my house and they're there if I need them, if I want them. He said, but otherwise the guitars. And I feel bad. I feel bad for drums. I feel bad for keyboards because everybody likes talking about the portability of a guitar. And I think those other instruments are so wonderful and people need to be playing the drums. People need to be playing the keyboard. Yeah. And I just get so heartbroken when I hear about people that leave them by the wayside because of the portability or lack thereof.
True, true indeed. My piano keyboards are literally the same size as I am. So, you know, you all can't see me here, but just know.
And you're tall.
I am tall, but those things are even taller.
So then what artist or artists, plural, would you say had the biggest influence on your love for music?
Oh, so I'm an old soul. I was 13, not playing outside like the normal kids, but it was Stevie Wonder that resonated with me. And along the way, Earth, Wind & Fire became another favorite group of mine. And so on the side of Stevie Wonder being a multi-instrumentalist, also his piano and other instruments, he played drums, all those things. But it was Earth, Wind & Fire's horn section and the funk. I mean, those guys. So, come on, if you know, you know. But they had the biggest impact. And I'll be the first pianist, keyboardist to say I didn't grow up listening to Oscar Peterson and the George Dukes. I didn't know who those guys were until end of high school, 18 years old. And there was a part of me that kind of felt like I'm behind in what I should know about certain musicians. But then I'm like, no, I'm not behind. I can always have time to learn about those people. But the people who inspired me and made the impact on my life have gotten me to where I am today. And I give credit for that. So those guys, I've seen Stevie Wonder also live. It just, that amazed me. And so many other artists I've wanted to see in my lifetime that are no longer here. But seeing Stevie Wonder, and I've kind of seen bits of Earth, Wind & Fire in California. So I'll take that.
Yeah. And, you know, Earth, Wind & Fire, I'm glad that you mentioned the horns. It's kind of like, you know, there's a reason why they tour often with Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, in Chicago, you could argue is the one that kind of revolutionized bringing horns into, I'll say, mainstream pop, borderline rock.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to think of those types of bands and to think of Earth, Wind & Fire and the fact that, yeah, you do got to recognize those horns. I've been fortunate to see both of those bands live in concert, and it just completes the show.
Yes, it does. It does. And here we are.
It adds a whole nother layer.
It does. You know. It does.
So let's transition to when and why you moved to Las Vegas. What brought you here?
So I came here on what could have been the craziest text message I received back in 2021. You know, the pandemic had a big effect on a lot of people, obviously, but for the musicians in particular, we lived a life where there was not so much of a backup plan. You know, we were touring, and I was out with Janelle Monae, CeeLo, and Fantasia all in 1 year, 2019, going into 2020 before everything shut down.
As three separate tours?
Three separate artists doing spot dates. And I don't even know how I managed that, but God is so amazing that he worked out the schedule to fit like a puzzle. And I maybe only missed or had to sub out one or two gigs in the whole year. But what happened after that, coming from the pandemic, the last tour I did was with Oprah. And that's where I was doing guitar and trombone. And that Oprah gig came from me doing a gig with Janelle Monae. I think people forget sometimes. It's not so much about who you know, but some people are watching you, and a year later they can remember you, which is how
I love those stories.
The Oprah thing came up. Even when the Oprah thing came up, the message came through when I was in soundcheck with Fantasia. And I said I would check it later. I went to craft services and love craft services when I don't have to cook for myself. And I read the message. I said, hey, we wanted to consider you for this tour coming up with Oprah. And Bruce, I immediately said, somebody's playing with me.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I didn't use those words on that particular day. But I said, okay, this is wild. And then I said, well, let me just check and see. Maybe this is real. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, we have 8 shows coming up over a period of 2 months. We'll do weekend tour gigs, and that'll be that.
And what was Oprah doing that it required a band behind her? I'm not following.
Yeah, so she did this tour called Oprah's 2020 Vision Tour, Your Life in Focus. And it was basically like a wellness tour. But we were a part of a group called Daybreaker. And this group is out of New York, but this group basically opened the show. We had an 11-minute set.
Okay.
So with dancers, a horn section, a drum section. And I was the only live instrumentalist regarding guitar. So I switched between guitar and trombone, which was very cool. I never knew it. Thanks to Janelle Monae, who needed multi-instrumentalists. I'll just say, because I feel like I have to go back a few steps, what you do in one space can literally be the preparation for what you do in the next space. And you just really start building on that. And so the request for Janelle Monae, I was asked to play keyboards, and that was it. About 2 weeks into rehearsals, they said, don't you play trombone? I'm like, yeah, but I put that down like 10 years ago. So I don't know. And I said yes to the gig because I said, what do I have to lose versus what do I have to gain? I could gain so much more. And being a female trombone player was not something that was very common in the world that I've grown up in. So I said, let me create this lane and stick to it. So that was the backstory with Janelle Monae, and then adding guitar over a couple of weeks after that. Now back to Oprah and getting that request to do guitar and trombone. Now, this is the connection between Cirque du Soleil and Oprah. There was a woman, her name is Crystal Torres. She's a trumpet player who also played on the tour. Crystal knew another person that knew people were looking for bandmates for the Cirque show. This is the newest show on the Strip. And I said, what the heck? I'll give it a try. And I did an audition. I did a dual audition where I started on trombone and I finished off on guitar.
In-person audition or a video audition?
Video audition, because we were still very much trying to handle things very carefully because COVID was still very present in the space of like...
But this is, you were in Atlanta.
I was in Atlanta.
And this was for the show here.
This is for the show
here.
So they
were auditioning that far in advance.
All over. And what's so crazy, I did the audition end of 2021, I believe. And January is when I got the first call to be like, well, we want to have a second audition because we need something high energy and we need to do the video. And I did the second audition, and literally end of February, they called and did a Zoom meeting with me and said, hey, we'd love to have you. Now, Bruce, let me tell you what I found out later is that they auditioned about 500 people.
Whoa.
And so to bring that back down to a 5-piece band with 5 singers at the time, it just said a lot in itself. And I don't know that I was sure that I would have gotten the gig, but I was still out of work, essentially, you know, from COVID. And I said, well, this is an opportunity. I'll try it. And trying it allowed me to get this gig, and they, I knew that it would require me to relocate to Vegas. Yeah. It's the wildest thing I've done in my life. but I did it. I did it afraid, and I did it uncertain about what life would bring, but it was the best decision that I've made.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
2 points of business before I go into my break. Number one is, let's just clarify for the audience. We're just meeting each other for the first time, but somehow I just know that when I said in the intro that you performed on The Voice, that that means that you were with the band.
It yes.
means that you weren't. I just want the audience to understand that so they don't say, why didn't he ask her about being on The Voice? And the answer is because Tracy Ahn was part of the band. It wasn't someone who was there as one of the singers, one of the talent on the show.
Yes, I was doing keyboards and background singing for Janelle Monáe.
The other part of everything you just said, and I picked up on something that I really am glad that you mentioned, because I don't know that I've ever really discussed this with a guest. And part of it is probably availability heuristic, because we're here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And just yesterday morning, I had breakfast with Jessica Jolia, who was kind enough to let me come and see the Kylie Minogue show Saturday night. Jessica was a guest on this show way back when. And folks, I will put a link on the show page for Tracy Ahn's episode so you can go way back and listen, because Jessica's doing amazing things. I already told her it's been more than 7 years since I had her on the show. I need to get her on. But she talked about jobs like you're talking about, and it never occurred to me until you just said it, of, you know, those gigs, as you know, are so coveted. And if all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I need to miss, because you said, I think I only had to sub out maybe once or twice. Does panic just overwhelm and think, oh my gosh, please don't let them replace me. Please let them know that this is just an isolated case and I just have to sub out once. Or is it, oh, Bruce, trust me, it happens. Everybody has to sub out once or twice now and then. It's not a big deal.
So yes and no. I think what happens, if you have to sub out, in my case, because I had a very specific role with Janelle Monáe, I humbly say this, you were not going to find a trombone playing, guitar playing, guitarist, background singer in a very quick space. Mm-hmm. So finding somebody meant I was only covering one spot. Maybe it was just the key part. And I would pre-record trombone so that there would at least be the sonic sound, you know, audibly you would hear it. Mm-hmm. But for the other gigs with CeeLo and Fantasia, I never subbed out with Fantasia. And here's the other part. You have to figure out, which gig do you want to do? What's going to make the most sense to miss or to make? Mm-hmm. So Fantasia was the top of my tier in regards to me needing to be in place. I would not miss any Fantasia shows. That show was more about playing keys. If people know Fantasia, she's very spiritual, and her thing is almost, it got a bit of gospel in the background. But for CeeLo, CeeLo had several backup musicians just in general, and we were running tracks. So if I needed to miss, I could have missed. For Janelle Monáe, though, I was her music director. And to think about, ooh, that was tricky if I was going to miss a show, because I have missed a show as a music director. I lost my passport in Dublin, Ireland. I was stranded the 4th of July where the embassy was closed.
Oh, my gosh. And,
but yeah, there is that anxiety about, you don't want to miss a show because the artists are depending on you. There are artists that sometimes have not so much abandonment issues, but when their team is not in place, it brings anxiety for them because they don't know what the show is like. How does this exist without you being here if you've never been here? So yes, it's crazy to think that you can miss a show. But the other part about it, the shows that I miss that I was music director, the shows ran smoothly. And it was at that point that I realized, if you are a leader and the show runs smooth without your existence, then you've done a great job leading. Also, sometimes the artists need to feel what it's like to not have things, not to scare them, but so that they know there is functionality that still exists in the space if you're not there.
If you need to sub out, are you going to the music director to ask him or her if you could sub out, or are you going to the artist himself or herself and saying, hey, sorry, but...
It depends on the relationship.
Okay.
So a lot of the times I actually went to the manager, the tour manager.
Oh.
Some cases I actually went to the artist because we had that relationship. If it was Melanie Fiona, I went directly to Melanie. If it was Janelle Monáe, depending on how big the production is, I went to management, because then they've got to now find somebody that's going to work, get flights and vouch for them and vet them, because we can't just bring in anybody. Even if we just say this person is good, they have to know for themselves.
Yeah. You can say, I vouch for them, this is what they've done, and that's all well and good, but it's not the case of them not taking your word on it. It's now their reputation is on the line.
Yes.
If they just say, okay, sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm joined today on location in Las Vegas by professional touring multi-instrumentalist Tracyon Martin. Follow and engage with her on social media, meaning Instagram and TikTok. The song of hers that was played at the beginning, Lifetime of Love, is available on Spotify. Just search on there without her last name for the song title and her first name. She is also available for video mentorship on a platform called Jamcard. It's all one word, but there's two M's, J-A-M-M-C-A-R-D. Speaking of online mentoring, I want to remind everyone of my online course. I really don't talk about this very much, but at interviewtipscourse.com, I have a go-at-your-own-pace online class where I teach you how to get more results from the TV, radio, podcast, interviews, etc. that you're doing. Take advantage of not only all the years that I spent doing PR and media relations for a National Hockey League team and in the Olympic movement, but the clients that I have served under the Now Hear This, Inc. umbrella, and of course, my 10 years of talking to guests as host of this show. There are more than 24 tips that I teach, plus there is an entire module devoted to finding more interview opportunities. Again, head directly to interviewtipscourse.com and get started with learning how to get more out of the interviews that you are a guest on. Tracyon, I like to educate the audience. I like to have what I call teaching moments. So I wonder, what is the most challenging thing that you have faced working in the music industry?
Most challenging. Oh, Bruce, we got 3 days to tell the story. So what I will say is, as a woman in this industry, I've had my share of challenges. I've had my days where I'm needing to prove more than what I would like to, just based on the commonality of women, or the uncommonality, should I say, in this space. Most specifically, when I became music director, I spent many days on email threads with production companies from all over and venues. And then I show up to the venue and I say, "Hi, I'm Tracy." And Tracy is a unisex name. So they're like, and you can see the uncertainty that's in their eyes, like, uh-oh, we're dealing with somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. And just to know that that is the mindset that they're not used to, seeing a woman being in leadership. And I spent days where I kind of lost some belief system in myself and, you know, just feeling intimidated by working with older people, all men. Most of the time I was the youngest, not just the only woman, but I was also the youngest in the crew. So there was a level of experience that I didn't have that I knew that they would consider, even if they didn't know exactly what I had done, they could see that I was still young in the game. So just really trying to make people believe I'm in this position for a reason. I may not have all the education, but also I don't need all the answers. I have a team that can help me that I didn't mind asking questions about. And so just navigating how to lead without sounding like a bee, without sounding like I didn't know what I was doing, or just kind of micromanaging so that people understood that I was the leader. That's not my leadership style. I'm pretty chill. You know, we're sitting right here based on our 20 minutes, 30 so far. It's not something where I feel like I gotta, and that was something that was hard to do. And learning how to navigate leadership gracefully and assertively was the challenge. And I feel like it is a beautiful marriage that I have come to know to be a part of my existence and how I operate now.
Yeah, it's not unlike, I have this four P's approach that I always talk about that I take in my business, which is patient, polite, professional, but persistent.
Yes,
and so you do have to kind of walk that line where you say, you know, look, I have clients that I have to serve and I want to get results for them, but I also don't want to jeopardize any relationships that I'm going to try to leverage, that I'm going to try to use for my clients, et cetera. And so we learn as we go along, because you can take guitar lessons from someone, you can take piano lessons from someone, but no one's going to sit there and teach you these things when you are walking in and they're going, "Oh, Tracy is a female."
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's that. Also, the other part, when you're green, you think that everybody loves you. And I learned the hard way that there were people who I considered friends that were talking about me, even when I got my second industry gig, and there was a rumor going around and saying, "She's only on the gig for her looks. She won't be there long. She's not a strong enough keyboard player." And I was in the middle of touring with Music Soul Child, had just got a second gig with Melanie Fiona, with the information. And Bruce, I was heartbroken. I remember sitting in rehearsal just crying, like, these are people who I thought were my friends. And now all of a sudden, my experience about touring really changed drastically. Mm. That was a very real moment. So that...
I'm sorry. It's making me emotional hearing this. That's... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was very heavy. And I mean, I still feel the emotion about it now. Now, have I conquered it? Absolutely. But do I still feel it? Daily.
Yeah.
And so it is the reminder to say, regardless of what you feel your insecurities are, or what other people feel like your insecurities are, if you stick with the program, you realize that you're in control of your destiny, then it is the success story that you can build. And if you allow somebody else to rain on your parade, as we would say in Atlanta, then that's on you. But I didn't have time for that, and I never wanted to be a has-been, so I said, I'm going to work hard to make sure I make this statement and get out here and kill the game.
Yeah.
Humbly.
So then as you continued down your path in music over the years, were there any women that you looked up to for inspiration?
Yes, there are two women specifically, and there are more now, but just on the upbringing when I was trying to figure out life in this space. In Atlanta, there is an organist. Her name is Natalie Reagans, and Natalie was really one of the first women musicians that I saw, and the guys respected her. That was the main thing that I wanted to make sure I could figure out, how to gain respect from men, just people in general, because even some women see other women in this industry and they're kind of catty too, like, she don't need to be there. And it's so crazy, like, why y'all hating? But Natalie Reagans, it was just the way that she carried herself in high regard, and she made me believe that I could do what I had never done. And then there was another person who, even more dear to my heart, her name is Kim Burse. Kim Burse became my mentor and my friend to this day. She is responsible for a lot of our favorite shows we've seen at Super Bowl, some Grammy performances, and she's the creative director for Ciara and J-Lo. She was with Beyonce for over 10 years as her music director, creative director, and to see somebody work with someone, an A-lister of that caliber, it's already inspiring for men or women in general. But I remember I got a call to do the Beyonce gig at some point, and I got the call three times, and it never happened. And I'm okay with that. I was just happy that I got the call. That said a lot in itself. But it pretty much was the inception of my relationship with Kim Burse. And Kim ended up calling me for something else. Oh, Black Girls Rock, which is a really cool gig. And I said, I don't care what I do, Bruce. I just want to play on Black Girls Rock. I had never done an award show. And I finally got the call. And you know what happened? I couldn't do it because I was booked.
Oh, no.
It's a good problem to have. But she knew that by this time now, we were getting ready to do the 61st Grammy Awards. I was with Janelle Monáe. And I can't remember who she was with that day. It might have been J-Lo. But with that said, I walked up to her and I said, hey, Kim, because this was the first time we were in the same place together after talking online for maybe 8 to 10 years. And I said, hey, I'm Tracyon. We've been talking. I just want to say thank you for reaching out to me for those gigs. And I know it didn't work out, but thank you for seeing me. And it was that day, I'll never forget, just being in L.A. with her. It really set me up for other things, which, again, that relationship with Fantasia, because she became Fantasia's music director. Mm. So she didn't stop inspiring me. She continued to empower me. And I was able to have conversations about how to leave a gig with dignity if you're feeling like it's not working for you. And she asked something so simple to say, what's your relationship with the artist? What's your relationship with the manager? And it's such a simple question, but it really made the difference in me being able to navigate how to get out of a space as a music director. Because you think you're stuck and this is the fate of your life, that you're not going to get out until they fire you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the first to say, don't stay somewhere where you don't feel like it's serving you anymore. The money is money. We can make money, and it's a tool, and we can get that in anywhere. But I refused to stay somewhere where I wasn't happy, I wasn't thriving, and it started to impede upon my performance. And Kim helped me work through that space. And now I can talk to other women and people in general about, if you want to leave, leave with dignity, because you'll never know if you need to go back. But if you have to go back, you'll know that you left on good terms, as best as possible. Now, the artist will feel a kind of way. We're humans. They're humans. But they can get past that and forgive you and understand your reason for leaving. And mine was for a mental health. I just needed to get out and just reset my life, because life was crazy.
Yeah. We're talking about inspiring women. There is an absolute dynamo right here in Las Vegas yeah. who was kind enough to connect the two of us. I'm talking about Lisa Marie yeah. Smith, audience, who was the guest back on episode 347. And I just admire the daylights out of Lisa. And I'm so grateful that she connected the two of us. With as accomplished as you are, with as much as Lisa has done, I still have to ask it anyways. How did the two of you come to know each other?
So Lisa, hey girl, that is my homegirl. I love her dearly. Lisa's husband, Isaac, yeah. plays trumpet in the band yep. with us. And I met Lisa through okay. Isaac. Okay. It's Mad Apple, Cirque du Soleil. But I didn't meet Lisa until our opening night. And this was May 26, 2023. I definitely remember that day. And, but I had just only heard about her. I'd known Isaac about 3 months before I met Lisa.
Okay. Okay. So you have done so much. I wonder, is there any particular tour or performance of your career that stands out to you the most?
Hands down, the Oprah tour.
Yeah.
The Oprah tour. Wow. It's Oprah. That's America's auntie. In my opinion. I remember day one, and you know, obviously everything was real, but I looked up at that Jumbotron and it dawned on me that I have made my way to the stage to open up for Oprah's tour for the next 2 months of my life. And not only was it a pivotal moment because it was Oprah, but where I was personally in my life and just wanted to evolve and feeling the woes of life, it changed my life. So that tour didn't just open, but I got something from it. Again, this is the 2020 Vision Tour with Oprah, Your Life in Focus. And every speaker she had every week just spoke just good things into your life, good lessons and life lessons. And about back to that, if it's not serving you, I don't care what or who it is, get out.
But there you were with a front row seat to those speakers yes. that nobody considers. Everyone thinks about you there as a performer and what a great job for a musician. And you go, yeah. And you know what? I also got a front row seat to all these great speakers.
Yeah. But I needed so much more than what I was given in that moment. And it showed up. And it was during that tour is when, like I was talking about with Kim Burse, where I left another gig as a music director because I realized, what am I doing here? Even my mom said, why are you still there? Is it for the money? I said, no, they're not giving me what I feel like I deserve. So why am I here? And it's a part of loyalty. But I tell people, there's a fine line between loyalty and common sense. So if it don't make common sense, even as loyal as you can be, let's err on the side of common sense.
I like that. I like that. We've talked around several times, but where can people see you performing these days?
So right now it's at Mad Apple, which is at the New York Hotel and Casino in Vegas. I do aspire to do other things outside of Cirque. Cirque is such a beautiful job to have, but it's a residential show. And sometimes we as musicians, it gets stagnant creatively if we're just doing these shows only. So with Lifetime of Love, I just performed Lifetime of Love on a news station out here, which is great because it reminded me like I am an artist outside of Cirque. So just kind of be on the lookout for that.
How many nights a week is that?
5 nights a week, wow. 2 shows a night, wow. 10 shows in a week, and about 475 in the year.
So how long is the Cirque contract for?
1 year.
For 1 year. Where are you into that?
So I just signed my 3rd year contract and we're going to be renewing. Technically, we start May 26th for the 3rd year.
Okay. Okay. This is a really off the wall question. I don't know what made me think of this, but several years ago, we were here in Las Vegas and I interviewed Laura Wright. And for some reason, I was asking Laura about people who come to Las Vegas with stars in their eyes and I'm going to get onto one of these shows. And we started talking about tattoos and the fact that like you need to know, like, are they gonna turn you away because maybe they don't want tattoos? And in your case, like, I've seen you on Instagram with blue hair and today your hair is black. So does a company like Cirque dictate to you like, Tracyon, we love you girl, but no blue hair? How does that work?
That's a great question. So
and let me interrupt you for a minute because I want the audience to understand that when I ask what seem like silly questions, this is because if there's any of you out there listening that say, you know, man, Bruce has some Las Vegas people from time to time, I've always wanted to give it a shot. Like, I want y'all to be prepared so you don't come to Las Vegas with your dream and you get turned away because you're covered in tattoos or they tell you you can't have blue hair and it is just like, this means the world to me. I'm not going to change my hair color. So please, thank you for letting me do that. But
yeah,
continue.
Sure. Again, great question. One of the things about being an artist artist, very important to brand yourself. It doesn't have to be gimmicky, but something that identifies you if you're not behind your main instrument or whatever your main thing you do. So I got stuck on hair. I've had hairstyles. I don't remember years. I remember hairstyles. That's my timeline. And just recently, when I say recently, I just changed my hair to like a deep, dark purple black so that I can manage the health of my hair. But when we started this show, they based your wardrobe and makeup off of your current look. So my look was inspired based off of my purple hair, and I keep these lime green nails, and that is the look. But also after 2 years of doing Cirque, I said, I got to do something that makes sense for me that I can keep up. But in our company, if you go through a drastic change look-wise, you do have to discuss that with artistic because they want to know that one is going to still match the vibe of the show. Yeah. They want to make sure that it still fits your costume and all those things. So yeah, it's a great question to consider.
Okay, so you mentioned that you did just get to perform your original song on a local news station. Mm-hmm. Aside from being a part of the Cirque show, are you working on any projects?
I am. I am writing a book, Bruce.
Wow.
I am writing a whole book, and I've been working on it for a year now. So it's slated to come out second quarter, a little closer to June, so we're not too far out from it now. But I am passionate about helping women. And the name of the book is called Leading Industry Ladies. And it basically says navigating leadership through grace and assertiveness. And it's two things that I feel like were my success story to have my jobs as music director with the people I've worked with. I've been project lead for a couple of different events, as well as just mentoring. That's something I still do. And I've been an educator for music as well in like elementary school. I'm teaching K through 8. So the way that you teach, finding out how kids are learning now with all of the distractions and technology, it's a good way to teach adults. Actually, it's like you can get a kid to listen. Most likely you can, you can get adults to listen, but it's a thing that I feel is a part of my legacy. While I was on tour with Oprah, we were at our cast party, and I don't drink now, but we had tequila shots that day. And I say it's the best tequila shot that I ever had because it was with Oprah. I was standing right next to her.
Right.
And, but she said, here's the thing. She said, everybody in this space has had everything to do with why this tour is successful. She said, a good friend of mine, Maya Angelou, said, your legacy is not just one thing you do, but it's every life you touch. And that stayed with me for this moment now. And I said, I have so many lessons and so many stories that would be helpful to people, and not just women, but because it is dear to me, because we're kind of an anomaly in this industry. I said, I want to help us. I want to help us be better and successful and be leaders with the power that God has given us to grant, you know, opportunities and just be inspiration. And the people who have never seen women do something as great as I've been able to accomplish, I want them to know that they can do that also.
I'm smiling, but darn you, girl, you put another cry right there in my throat. I'm getting emotional listening to this stuff. I mean, the Maya Angelou quote, I think that's the one that kind of pushed me over the edge. Realistically, are there any collaborations that you'd really like to do? You're trying to manifest? You know, I mean, you said like you got the Beyonce call a couple times, but that's not really what I'm talking about. Is there somebody that you're, and maybe it's, you know, I don't want to jinx it and say it out loud, Bruce, but anybody that you want to talk about? Or is it, no, I'm just kind of working on the things that we've talked about right now.
I will say I have these thoughts about one day bringing together the artists that I've worked with, Melanie Fiona, Janelle Monáe, and Fantasia, to do something. I don't know if it would be music-based or a panel or a festival or concert and one performance, but that's something that I feel like would be kind of cool. However, outside of that, there are no current aspirations to do any collaborations other than to get this book out. And maybe the book will garner some collaborations.
Yeah, that book is going to be something that you talked about earlier in our discussion, which was, you know, sometimes you're doing something that you don't know at the time is going to lead to something else.
Yeah.
And it's going to be exciting. And folks, this is all the more reason for you to follow Tracy on social media, because when that book comes out, y'all need to support her and buy it, but also to see where it propels her to. Do you get back and forth to Atlanta? I'm sure that you'll go and do a book launch over there.
Yes, I do. The last time I was in Atlanta was in October, and I told my family this time it's going to be a little bit longer before I come back, just so that I can have the time to settle in and do this very big task that I feel fortunate to be able to do. But I definitely want to do a book signing tour. I want to go speak to schools. If there are colleges out there, I want to be seen in a different space. There are musicians who have been able to be successful just by being musicians their entire life. I don't want that story for my life, though. That's just not something I feel passionate about. Music, it's a part of me, and it will be a part of me the rest of my life. But I feel I can be more effective when I talk to people and I have the stories that are familiar and make us all relatable. Because that's a thing that I think is a likable feature, that you can relate, that you've had the same experiences. I can't tell you the experiences I've had if I'm just playing piano.
That's
right. And you may like that's what right. you hear, but you may not even know what you really love about me until you sit down.
Well, and you've been effective talking to me.
Yeah.
This has been a great conversation. I know the audience has been impacted by one or more things that you've said. And audience, out of respect for Tracyon, I want to play Lifetime of Love again at the end of this so that you can hear the whole thing uninterrupted in its entirety without me talking over it. But before we close, I want to end on a fun note. Over my years coming here, and also just knowing a couple people that live here, I'm always told that the locals in Las Vegas don't go to the Strip. However, you being an entertainer, I wonder, when you're not performing and when you're not working on these other projects that you've talked about, what do you like to go out and do here? Do you go to the Strip? Do you go see the same shows that tourists are going to? Or is it, you know, I just am in my house and keeping to myself?
Okay, I'll start with what Strip? It's so funny. I go to the Strip, but really only when people come in town, because that's what they want to do. And so I honor that. There are some things. I've been to all the Cirque shows. But after that, it's like, there's not really much for me to do on the Strip. I do, however, love the mountains. I'm a nature girl. I'm a city girl, but I'm a nature girl. And I love hiking. I love taking my dogs out for walks at the park. That's just our thing now. And also, I like bowling. Any activity that gets me outside of my house, I'm there. I like going go-karting. I like going to the gun range. It's really activity central. I've been horseback riding just recently.
Wow.
And just exploring, however I can explore. Or I just might sit out in my backyard and look at the mountains.
Well, I'm ashamed to tell you, all my years coming to Las Vegas, I've never been to the Grand Canyon.
Really?
Have you?
Not since I moved here, but when I was touring, taking that cross-country trip. Yes, it is a sight to see. Please, everybody, go see the Grand Canyon.
And please, everybody, I'm going to give you all her online destinations again, but please support Tracyon. She's doing wonderful things. It was so great to meet you. Thank you for making time to come and sit and talk with me and be on Now Hear This Entertainment.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to professional touring multi-instrumentalist Tracyon Martin. Again, do find and engage with her on social media, being Instagram and TikTok. For that matter, tell her you heard her and her music. I Now Hear This Entertainment. In just a minute, I'm going to play her song again that you did not get to hear in its entirety or unobstructed since I was talking over it at the beginning of this episode. But look it up on Spotify and give Tracyon a follow on there too. Remember, search for the song title and just her first name. As I mentioned earlier, she is available for video mentorship through a website called Jamcard, which is spelled with two M's, Jammcard. I do truly hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Tracyon and I, and I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, more than 10 years without missing once, by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 531. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with the song you heard some of at the beginning from Tracyon Martin. This is called Lifetime of Love. Thank you.
Baby, you're the one that I want. I want to be with you forever. Baby, you're the one that I need. I need you here, you make me better. Happily in love we will be, making memories together. Show me you can fill the space. I only wanna see.